In 2009, a woman walking her dog along a barren mesa in Albuquerque stumbled across a human femur. What police found next would become one of the most chilling unsolved serial murder cases in American history. 11 women, all sex workers, all buried in the desert, systematically, cruelly, and in silence. No IDs, no suspects, no witnesses. Just shallow graves and broken bones scattered across a stretch of sand now known as the West Mesa. The Albuquerque Police Department would eventually uncover the largest crime scene in New Mexico's history. But despite years of investigation, countless interviews, and multiple leads, including one suspect who built developments right over the burial site, the case went cold. No arrests, no justice, just questions. Who was the West Mesa bone collector? Why were these women ignored for so long? And what does this case say about whose lives truly matter in America? So, if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. A Grave in the Dirt. February 2nd, 2009. The dog, the bone, the beginning. The sun hung low over the outskirts of Albuquerque, casting long, dusty shadows over the desolate West Mesa. Christine Ross had no intention of stepping into history that day. She was just walking her dog, Ruka, through the open desert behind her subdivision in the newly developed area of 118th Street, SW. It was a routine route, quiet, isolated, a place where suburban sprawl met barren land. But when Ruka began sniffing frantically near a mound of dirt, Christine glanced down and saw something protruding from the ground. At first, she assumed it was a tree root or an old pipe, but it wasn't. It was a human femur. She took a photo, sent it to her sister, a nurse, and then dialed 911. What followed was a seismic shift in Albuquerque's criminal history. The largest crime scene in New Mexico history. As police cordoned off the area, they expected to find maybe a body, possibly a murder or missing persons case. What they found instead was a mass grave. Over the next few months, using heavy equipment and ground-penetrating radar, forensic teams would uncover the skeletal remains of 11 women and an unborn fetus, all buried within a tight, methodical cluster. Each grave was shallow, each skeleton bore signs of being carefully placed, and most chilling of all, each of the women had disappeared between 2001 and 2005, years before the site had been developed into a residential neighborhood. The victims, a pattern of vulnerability. The identities slowly emerged as forensic anthropologists matched dental records and DNA with missing persons reports. The victims were young, mostly in their 20s. Many mothers, all Latina or African American. Almost all were involved in sex work and all had histories of drug addiction. Their names were Veronica Romero, Evelyn Salazar, Jamie Barella, Victoria, Chavez, Virginia, Cloven, Doreen Marquez, Monica Candelaria, Cinnamon Elks, Celania Edwards, the only African-American victim from Oklahoma, Julie Nieto, Michelle Valdez, whose unborn fetus was also found buried beside her. For years, the women had been missing, but barely investigated. Many of their families had filed reports. Some had pleaded with local authorities, but police resources were limited. And when the missing are sex workers, urgency is rarely applied. A city that looked away, Albuquerque in the early 2000s, was battling a meth crisis, police corruption, and exploding urban development. The West Mesa, a dusty expanse on the city's edge, had long been ignored. Zoning laws were loose. Developers were hungry. The idea that bodies were being buried there, over multiple years, seemed both horrifying and plausible. What raised eyebrows was how these bodies were only discovered because development finally reached the graves. Had the subdivision not been built, the remains might have stayed hidden forever. It's this fact that gave rise to one of the darkest suspicions. Did the killer know the land would eventually be bulldozed over? And if so, was he connected to the developers themselves? The prime suspect, who was never charged. Soon, attention turned to a man named Lorenzo Montoya. He was a 39-year-old man who lived just miles from the burial site. He had a long history of violence against women, particularly sex workers, and had previously been arrested for strangling and beating them. Police were already watching him in 2006. But just before they could question him further, Montoya made a fatal mistake. That year, he contacted a young sex worker online and lured her to his home. Her boyfriend, suspicious of the request, followed her. When the boyfriend arrived, he saw Montoya dragging the young woman's lifeless body out to his car. A confrontation broke out. The boyfriend shot and killed Montoya on the spot. Inside Montoya's home, police found chilling evidence. Ropes duct tape photos of sex workers' online ads that matched the styles used by missing victims, but Montoya's connection to the burial site itself was never proven. He had no direct tie to the land. No construction connection. No eyewitnesses. Without evidence placing him at the West Mesa during the time of the killings, the case remained circumstantial. Multiple men, one graveyard. Other suspects emerged, a former APD officer, a trafficker from Juarez, even rumors of a serial killer duo. But each suspect hit the same wall. No forensic evidence. The desert had washed away almost everything. Years of wind, sand, sun, and erosion had left the bones bare but the context empty. There were no fingerprints, no fibers, no murder weapons, no surveillance. The killer, if he worked alone, was methodical, patient, and perhaps most damningly, he understood the social blind spots of the city. He targeted women who were already invisible. He buried them where no one was looking. And he stopped, just as suddenly as he had started. The question that haunts the case. Why did the killings stop? Most serial offenders escalate. They don't simply retire. Investigators have floated three possibilities. The killer died, or was killed. Montoya's death in 2006 fits this. He was incarcerated on unrelated charges. He moved to another region and resumed killing under a different pattern. But without direct forensic evidence, no vehicle traces, no soil transference, no recorded confession, the theory remains a theory. The families speak. Families of the victims held vigils every year on the Mesa. Many had long suspected their loved ones had been murdered. They had reported them missing, posted flyers, called hotlines. Some even walked the Mesa with dogs and flashlights. But their grief was often met with shrugs or silence. Several mothers recall being told, "She'll show up, she's just out on a run." One woman, the mother of Michelle Valdez, stated, "I feel like they didn't care because she was a drug addict, a sex worker, but she was my daughter, and she was pregnant." Her words cut deep, and they reflect what's perhaps the most uncomfortable truth about the West Mesa case. It's not just about a killer, it's about a system that failed to protect women it didn't value. A monument of bones. Today, the West Mesa site remains undeveloped. A makeshift memorial with crosses, flowers, and names now marks the land. It's sacred ground, but also a crime scene frozen in amber. No charges have ever been filed. No killer has ever confessed. And the West Mesa Bone Collector remains a ghost, buried not just in sand, but in silence. Chapter 2. The Investigation That Lost Them All. 2009-2011, a cold trail grows colder. Once the scope of the West Mesa crime scene became clear, the Albuquerque Police Department assembled a dedicated task force. Forensic specialists, missing persons investigators, and criminal profilers worked full-time, combing through leads, cross-referencing timelines and interviewing anyone remotely connected to the victims. But from the beginning, the investigation was burdened not just by lack of evidence, but by years of neglect. Most of the women had disappeared between 2001 and 2005. Some had not even been reported missing until months later. Others were reported, but their files were deprioritized or outright closed, flagged as runaways, drug users, or repeat offenders. By the time investigators stood on that patch of desert in 2009, the killer had a 4 to 8 year head start. The map of disappearances, one of the first tasks the West Mesa Task Force undertook, was to map the victims' final known locations. What emerged was a tight cluster within a few neighborhoods in southeast Albuquerque, an area known for sex work, low-income housing, and transient populations. Most victims had last been seen near East Central Avenue, a notorious corridor known as the War Zone by locals. For a killer looking to operate under the radar, it was the perfect hunting ground. No cameras, few records, and even fewer people paying attention. But the killer wasn't sloppy. He didn't leave trails. He selected women who were already vulnerable. Many had strained relationships with their families, no fixed addresses, and court records tied to prostitution or drug offences. The killer was methodical and chillingly precise. The satellite photos that haunt the case. In 2011, APD investigators received a strange tip from an amateur sleuth who had been reviewing publicly available satellite images of the West Mesa area. Using time-stamped Google Earth-style visuals, he noticed that between 2003 and 2005, at the exact site where the bodies were discovered, there appeared to be a pattern of disturbed soil and tire marks. The photos showed that someone had been driving out to that part of the mesa regularly during the years the victims vanished. At one point, you could even see what looked like body-sized depressions in the dirt, followed by fresh soil scatter in the same spot weeks later. But satellite photos aren't court evidence. Investigators used the images to bolster theories, but they couldn't confirm whose vehicle made those tracks. Why no DNA? Why no forensics? The primary frustration in the case was the lack of usable forensic evidence. The desert had done what nature often does, stripped the bodies of trace material. DNA degraded in the arid conditions. Bones, while intact, carried no fingerprints or fibers. There were no ligatures, no clothing remnants, not even jewelry or phones. The killer had stripped everything. Forensic anthropologist Dr. Heather Edgar, one of the lead consultants on the case, confirmed that the remains showed no signs of trauma that could be conclusively tied to cause of death. No skull fractures, no stab wounds, no bullets. Strangulation or suffocation were suspected, but those methods don't leave marks on bones. Without a cause of death and without a murder weapon, the killer's methods became part of the mystery. Theories and suspects. Montoya wasn't the only one. While Lorenzo Montoya remained the primary person of interest, investigators considered other suspects. Fred Reynolds, a local pimp and former drug addict who had taken photos of sex workers in the same area where the victims were last seen. His name appeared in multiple victim case files. He died of natural causes in 2009. Just as the bones were being unearthed. Ron Irwin, a photographer from Missouri who frequently visited Albuquerque and took photos of sex workers in the war zone. He was questioned and his properties were searched by the FBI. Nothing was found. He was later cleared. Unnamed APD officer, a disgraced officer who had been fired for soliciting sex while on duty. Some suspected he may have used his badge to gain the trust of the victims. Again, no proof, no charges. Cross-border trafficking network. Some theories pointed to a cartel-style operation that abducted sex workers, used them in trafficking rings, and then disposed of them. but the burial patterns and care taken suggested an individual, not a group. None of these theories led to indictments. None yielded solid evidence. And with every passing year, the trail grew colder. The pressure to solve it. And the wall of silence. By 2012, the West Mesa case had become a political flashpoint. Families were pressuring local leaders. Community advocates accused APD of mishandling the early disappearances. Some even called for federal intervention. The FBI launched a partnership with APD, offering criminal profilers, behavioral analysts, and access to national databases. The hope was to cross-reference similar cases, unsolved sex worker disappearances in other cities, but the pattern never repeated in quite the same way. The killer had a singular method. All victims were female. All involved in sex work, all disappeared in a tight 4-year window, all buried in a precise location. Then nothing. That silence became the most haunting part of the case. No taunts, no notes, no trophies. Unlike other serial killers, BTK, the Zodiac, or the Long Island serial killer, the West Mesa bone collector wanted nothing from the public. No attention. No legacy. Just silence. And in many ways, the world gave it to him. Cultural blind spots. Who gets justice? One of the most difficult conversations around the case came not from evidence, but from the aftermath. How could 11 women vanish, many from the same part of town, without triggering alarms? Why weren't their disappearances considered linked before 2009? Why weren't more resources allocated to investigating their missing persons files? The answer, for many, is uncomfortable. It lies in societal bias. Against the poor, the addicted, the sex workers, the non-white. These women didn't disappear because they were hard to find. They disappeared because people stopped looking. One community advocate put it plainly. Had this been a cluster of college students from the university, there would have been helicopters in the sky by week one. The families never stopped. Despite the lack of answers, the families of the West Mesa victims have become some of the loudest voices in Albuquerque's fight for justice. They've organized candlelight vigils every year on February 2nd, the day the first bone was found. They've worked with local politicians to keep the case from being buried in bureaucracy. And perhaps most powerfully, they've reclaimed the names of their daughters, sisters, and mothers from the headlines. The victims are no longer just a group. They are individuals. Michelle Valdez loved to dance and left behind a young daughter. Cinnamon Elks was described as always laughing. Jamie Barella was only 15, just walking with her cousin. Doreen Marquez had just gotten out of rehab before she vanished. Their lives mattered. Their deaths matter. Where the case stands today. As of 2025, no one has been charged in the West Mesa murders. The site remains undeveloped, marked only by a memorial with crosses and the 11 names. The task force has been scaled down, but not dismantled. The FBI maintains a digital file. Leads still trickle in. The families still wait. But justice feels increasingly distant. Some of the victims' parents have died. Others fear the case will never close. And somewhere, if he's still alive, the West Mesa bone collector walks free. He may never kill again. Or maybe he already has, in another state, with a new method. But one thing is certain. He buried 11 lives beneath a desert floor. And a nation let them stay there for far too long.